Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shor. Maseches Tainus has been dedicated by Mr. Aaron Zweig, Le'iloi Nishmas Reb Shimon ben Nechemya Halevi.
Tainus Daf Tesvov. The first parak ends off with a memra from Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak. He says, Afani Omer lo yakol le'oirov lo yakol le'simcha. Not everybody is going to be zoicher to the madrega la'asid lovi of oira, and not everybody is going to be zoicher to the madrega of simcha. Tzadikim la'oira v'yisharim la'simcha. Tzadikim will be exposed to that which is called oira, and yisharim to simcha. D'chsiv or zarua la'tzadik uli yishrei leiv simcha. Rashi says, yisharim la'simcha d'yisharim adifi mitzadikim. What exactly does this mean? Reb Tzadik HaKoyen in the Pri Tzadik, in many places, and amongst them the first piece in Chag HaSukkos, when he explains the Milo of Chag HaSukkos, why is it referred to as Man Simchaseinu more than other Yom Tovim? And he brings down this Gemara. He says that the difference between a Tzadik and a Yashar is that a Tzadik is somebody who still has to live with the battle with the Yetzer Hara. He may emerge victorious, but he's somebody that hasn't yet uprooted the Yetzer Hara from his spiritual makeup. And this person is a gibor. He's a gibor HaKovish Yitzre because he has the battle and he emerges victorious. But he needs oir, he needs light to light up for him in the darkness because he lives with that darkness and he needs the siyua in order to be misgaber over his Yetzer Hara. Masha'enkein Yisharim refers to a greater madrega. As the Sefer HaTanya writes by Arichas, there is the concept of a Beinoni. A Beinoni is somebody who's ruled both by his Yetzer Hara and his Yetzer Tov. However, David HaMelech says, V'libi cholol bikirbi. He managed to kill his Yetzer Hara. That madrega is referred to as Yishrei Lev, because it's the person who was zoicha to be miyasher his Lev. Now, until a person reaches that madrega, he cannot experience true simcha. Because as we know, ein simcha kataras asfekis. When a person lives with conflict, he's being pulled in two separate directions, he cannot be besimcha. He feels torn. He's being pulled in two different directions. Masha'en kein, somebody who's miyasher es liboy, he only has lev echad la'aviv shebashamayim, he can experience true simcha. So he says that's what Rashi means when he says yesharim are adifim mitzadikim. Because the yesharim have managed to perfect themselves to the level in which they have no conflict whatsoever. Let us now start the second perek. The perek begins Seder Tainius Ketzad, Moitzina Sateva L'Ruchoyva Shal'ir V'Noisnin Eivar Maklal Gabe Hateva. And the Mishnah delineates the entire ceremony that was enacted when they used to be Geyser Tainius. And of course over here we're talking about the last seven Tainius, which are the most Chamurais from all the Tainius. It was a series of 13 Tainius, as we learned in the last Mishnah of the last perek, that whenever it was a year of Batsiris, no rain came down. Bismanoi, Beznius Begoizer, an additional 13 Tainesim, and the last seven had a certain Seder, and this is what they would do. And our Mishnah explains that Seder. Now, are we referring to only a case where there was no rain, or even when there were other Tsaris that happened? This is Machlokes Rishonim. The Ramban, the Meiri, the Ran, the Ritva, and the Tur, in the beginning of Siman Tofresh Ayin Tes, understand that the Seder that's explained in our Mishnah is enacted in any time that there's a Tzara. Because a Matzev of Tzara is a reason to cry out to Hashem, and it's enough of a reason to be Geizer Tainus, and the entire ceremony that's discussed in our Mishnah is enacted then as well. However, from the Rambam, in Hilchos Tainius, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph, it's mashma that this whole thing is said only during the time of Atziris Geshamim. Now, since the pashtus of these Mishnayos is that we're discussing cases of Atziris Geshamim, what's the raya of those other Rishonim that understand that this is something universal to all Tzaras? The answer is because we see later in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you did not have to say Zichronis and Shofres like the Tanakhama holds. The Tanakhama holds you say the psukim of Zichronis and Shofres during the tefillah, the special tefillah that our Mishnah describes. And Rabbi Yehuda says, "Lo hayu tzarich lomer zechronis v'shoifres." The Gemara explains, "Lefi she'ein omer zechronis v'shoifres ela b'Rosh Hashanah v'yovlis u'b'shas milchama." Now the Ran and the Ritva explain that when the Gemara says "b'shas milchama," it doesn't mean only at the time that they would wage war. It means all tzaras. A milchama is a time that is considered a tzara, and you need Hashem's special siyata d'shmaya. And so too, any tzara would warrant the ceremony that's described in our Mishnah. So you see that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda are in agreement that Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Mishas Mulchama, which according to the Ram, the Ritva, means all tzaris, you say this ceremony, and the only machlokes is whether during Tanias for Geshamim, you also had this whole Seder. And therefore, all these Rishonim conclude that we're not talking dafka during a time of Atziris Geshamim, we're talking about at any time that there is a tzara. What does the Rambam do with that diuk? From the Gemara later, you see that not only are we discussing a time of Tainus for Geshamim, we're even describing cases of Milchama. And Milchama is actually a case in which both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda agree that you go through the entire Seder of our Mishnah. So the Lechem Mishnah says that although it's true that the Rambam has to agree that Le'inyan Milchama, you use the whole Seder of our Mishnah, nevertheless, the Rambam disagrees with all the other Rishonim, and he holds that Milchama is Dafka. Meaning, whereas the other Rishonim hold that when it says Milchama, it's just an example of any Tzara. But who had in Shar Tzaras, all other Tzaras, you would use the Seder of our Mishnah. The Rambam holds that this is something special about Milchama. So the only times that we use the Seder of our Mishnah is by Rosh Hashanah, Yovel, and Milchama, and in addition, the Zman of Atziris Geshamim. And from this it would sound like there is a fundamental machloikas between the Rambam and the other Rishonim how to be magdir, the mechayiv of Milchama. We know that Milchama, you have to use the Seder of our Mishnah of Tefillah. The question is that because we're in a matzav of tzara, and therefore we can learn from Milchama to all other tzaras? Or is it perhaps only the tzura of how we're told to wage war? But not because we're in a matzav of tzara. For example, the inyan of being tekeya b'shoifer. That was the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to wage war. That could be seen as a din similar to the din of tekeya shoifer on Rosh Hashanah. The whole ceremony of machiz achronis and shoifers that we say on Rosh Hashanah is because we proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the melech. It could be that Milchama, we're doing the same thing. We're waging war with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at our head. And the tekeya shoifer does not necessarily have to be because we're in a matzav of tzara. It could be a battle cry as well. It could be to scare the enemy. Lav dafka, do we have to see the ceremony when it's done in a matzav of Milchama as being something out of tzara? So the other Rishonim hold that the fact that we apply this ceremony to Milchama is indicative of the fact that any tzara you do it. Must be that it's applied to any tzara. And all other tzaras, we do the same thing. Masha'en Kain, the Rambam holds that Atziris Geshamim is the only time that we find that we do it in a matzav of tzara. The fact that we do it in a Milchama doesn't show anything, because Milchama could be for a totally different mechayiv. Now the Mishnah tells us that the way that they would conduct the ceremony of Tainius is Maitzian es hateva l'rechovishal ir. They would remove the teva, bring it out to rechovishal ir, to a public place. What is meant by the word teva? So Rashi on the Rif says teva means arna kodesh v'sefer Torah b'soichet. Now the Bach in Arachaim Simen Kuf Nun de Bermaschel Ubeinin points out that this is not the arin kodesh that's built in the Kaisel Mizrahi of the Beis HaKnesses that we all refer to as Aron HaKodesh. Rather, there was a rectangular box that one Sefer Torah would be kept inside, and he says it was a Medes Alakarka Samach LaAron HaKodesh. This box would always be in front of the Aron HaKodesh, V'sham HaYayorid Shlich Tzibur L'Espalal. That's actually what we mean when we say that the Shlich Tzibur was Yorid Lefnei HaTeva. We're referring to that Teva. And that is the Teva that used to bring out to the Rechov Shel Ir when they would be geyser the tiniest. However, the Drisha over there in Simen Kuf Nun explains that Teva over here actually means the Shulchan that they used to put the Sefer Torah on when they would read from the Sefer Torah. And he says they would bring out that Shulchan with the Sefer Torah on top of it. So that's a machloikas as to what exactly when we say Teva. Now what happens if there was no Sefer Torah? Did they still do the Seder? So the Sfasemis has a suffix about this. And he says that Nira, that Teva does not mean Dafka with the Sefer Torah. And his raya is that many places you find the Chazal use the Lashon Oiver Lefnei HaTeva, referring to somebody serving as a Shlich Tzibur. And certainly he says there are many cases in which there will not be a Sefer Torah, and still the person who's over Lefnei HaTeva does his job, even though there's no Sefer Torah to be over in front of. The Mishnah continues and tells us, V'noisen Efer Makla al Gabe HaTeva. What is Efer Makla that they would put on top of the Teva? Rashi explains Efer Makla means Efer Mamish. The Mishnah has to tell us that it means Efer that was produced by burning something, because the Tana doesn't want you to make the mistake and think that we're talking about regular dirt. since sometimes the word afer is used to describe dirt. As Rashi explains, sometimes you use the word afer to describe afer, and sometimes you use the word afer to describe afer. So the only way to make sure that you understand that we're talking about afer that was made through burning something, meaning that it's ash, that it's real afer, is by saying afer makla. Now why are we makbid an afer makla dafka? Rashi says, because afer makla genai yoiser me afer stam. Afer makla is more of a genai than regular afer. Now the question on Rashi is that if you look in the Gemara later, you'll see that there are really two reasons why we use afer. One Mandiyamer says, because we want to remind Hashem of the Afer of Yitzchak, who was brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. The other Mandiyamer says, Arei anu chashuvin lefanecha ke'afer. We are considered in front of you, we're as chashuv as Afer. Now what's the nafgamina between the two? The Gemara says, Ikebeinayu afer stam. The machloik is between the Mandiyamer who says that it's to remind us about Akedas Yitzchak, and the Mandiyamer who says that it's to remind us that we are really choshev like nothing, is really machlokes as to whether you could use afer stam, not just afer. If you hold that it's because of the akedah, then you cannot use afer, but if it is to show our chashivas, then you could use afer. So then the question on Rashi is, how can Rashi say that the reason why we use afer makla is because it's more of a genai than afer stam, mimonoshach? If you're going like the Mandiyamer who says that the reason why you used afer was to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the afer of Yitzchak, then the reason is not because it's more of a genai than afer. The reason is to remind them of the Akedah. And if you say, like the other Mandiyamer, that it's to remind us that we're not chashiv like anything, then you don't need dafka afer, like the Gemara says. So what do you mean afer makla is a genai yoiser mi afer stam? So the Lecha Mishnah over there in Perek Dalet of Chastanias asked this question in Rashi, and he answers that if you look in the Gemara, you'll notice that the Gemara doesn't begin the discussion as to why we use afer until it starts discussing the practice of putting afer b'rosh kol echad ve'echad, but not with regards to putting afer makla al gabi ateva. And therefore he says that Rashi holds that the whole machloikis that's discussed in the Gemara later is only legabe nesinas efer al rosh kol echa ve'echad, whether it's to be maskir akedis Yitzchak or to remind us of our chashivas. However, legabe putting the efer al gabe ateva, that has got nothing to do, not with akedis Yitzchak, because the teva was not brought as a sacrifice, so it wouldn't make sense to symbolize the concept of Yitzchak being brought as a carbon through putting efer on top of the teva, and it's also not there to show our chashivas, because that makes sense when we're putting it on ourselves, but not when you put it on the teva. We're not looking to show the lack of chashivas chas v'shalom that the teva or the sefer Torah has, and that's something that the Gemara understood. So the Gemara doesn't even ask over there whether it's because of the efer shel Yitzchak or because of areinu chashuvim lefanecha ka'afar. Rather, you have to say that there's a whole other reason why you put Afer Makla on top of the Teva, and that's because, like Rashi says, it's a genai, it's a displaying of Avelus. It shows that we're a bitzar. Mela says, Rashi, you have to take something that's more of a genai, since Afer Makla is more of a genai than Afer Stam, so we use Afer Makla. In the Sefer Tiferes Bochum, he says a similar teretz. He says that Rashi is going on the din that you're supposed to put Afer al Rosh Hanasi. Masha Enke in the Gemara is talking about the practice of putting Afer al Rosh kol Echa ve'echad. However, the Rashash and the Keren Oira, they understand that Rashi, when he explains that Afer is more of a genai than Afer, is going according to the Mandiyamer in the Gemara that you could be Yoytze with Afer Stam. However, Rashi understands that although you could be Yoytze with Afer Stam, it still says in the Mishnah that you're supposed to use Afer. Maybe Afer Stam works, because it also reminds us of our lack of chashivas. However, the mashmos is that you still lechatchila should use efer. And that's what's bothering Rashi. Rashi says, why is it that lechatchila should use efer, since you could be yoitza with either efer or offer? Why is it mashma that you should use lechatchila efer? And that Rashi says that efer, no matter what, is more of a genai. However, if you look at the goin in Shulchan Aruch, in Tafresh Ayin Tes, you'll see that he doesn't agree to this pshat. Because on the words of the Mechaber, who says that you put Afer Makla on top of the Teva, the Goyin says that the Mechaber is obviously going like the Mandiyamer, who says that you need Dafka Afer and not Afer Stam. Which means that he understands that that Mandiyamer in the Gemara that says you could use Afer Stam holds that the Mishnah is Lav Dafka, and not that Lechatchila you're supposed to use Afer. Now why is it that Rashi holds that Afer is considered more of a Genai than Afer? The Keren Ayir actually points out that that's the mashmos of the pasuk, because you see that Avraham Avinu describes himself as Ofer ve'Efer. Usually you go in the order of less severe to more severe. If you would have started off saying Anoichi Efer, then it wouldn't make sense to say afterwards Anoichi Efer ve'Ofer, because after using a stronger metaphor, you don't go to resort to something weaker. And he explains that Ofer is something that relates to the shiftless of the guf, because the guf is Ofer min ha'adama. On the other hand, Efer is on the shiftless ha'nefesh, because in comparison to the Esha ol Yoina, he says, it's considered like Efer. And that's why Bischar, these two descriptions that Avraham Avinu said, he was zoicher to two mitzvahs, Ofer soita, which is there to be metaher the guf, and Efer para, which is there to be metaher from tumas ha'nefesh. Another reason why Efer could be seen as being more of a gnai than Ofer is because although both of them symbolize nothing, nevertheless, Ofer has potential. You could grow things in Ofer. Efer, on the other hand, is the opposite. It's something that has already been and has now been reduced to ash. You cannot plant in ash. It has absolutely no purpose. So whereas Ofer is nothing, but it symbolizes the potential to become something, Efer is nothing, and it symbolizes only destruction. Now Tosfos on Amud Beis in Debre Maschil V'Noisen Efer says a very surprising thing. Tosfos says, Oisei Efer Havimei Etzem Adam. The Efer that they used to use during this ceremony was the Efer that came from burning the bones of a person. After all, says Tosfos, this Efer is supposed to be a zikaron for the Akedah. And the Akedah was Atzamas. And the Achronim asked the Keren Ayir, the Agos Yavetz, how could it be that they actually would go and dig graves that would be tremendous bezoyin hameis? Especially, they say, since the Akedah actually didn't really happen with Yitzchak. Yitzchak was never burnt, it was only the Ayil of Yitzchak. So there are various terutzim in the Achronim to answer this question. How could they have gone and used human bones to burn, Lefi Tosfos? According to the Shailos Tshuvos Chelek Levi, in Chelek Yeredeya, Simen Kuf Chof Hei, he says an incredible chiddush. He says that if it's already niskaima the mitzvah's kvura, with burying the roishe verubay of a person, suppose you manage to bury a person's head and most of his body, and something is left over outside the grave, there is no chiyav to bury that remainder of the person, and therefore it's mutter to burn the bones. Which means that he holds that there's no problem be'etzem with burning a mace. It's just that you have to mekayim mitzvahs kvura. Since you are mekayim mitzvahs kvura with roshev rubay of the person, then whatever is left over is mutter besreifa. Take a look also at the Mishnah Lamelech and Hilchas Evel, Perek Yud Dalet. In the last piece, he has a whole arichas about the inyan of being nene from a mace. And he also says that there's only a chiyav kavura if roshev rubay of the mace is kaim. If you bury roshev rubay of the mace, there's no chiyav. Even a kezias of a mace doesn't have a chiyav kavura. And he says this to argue with the Tosfos Yomtiv in Shabbos, Perik Yud, Mishnah Hei, who says that there is a mitzvah kavura and a kezias of a mace. Take a look also at the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Tov Kuf Lamed Zayin. So that's one mahalach that's used to be miyashiv, the Tosfos, who says that what they used to do is take Efer Makla from the bones of somebody who was dead, because there's a heter to burn at Tzomis if there was a mitzvah kvura niskayim with the mace. In the Shalshu Shfus Yaakov, in Chilik Beis, Simon Kuf Aleph, in Nadib Yehuda, Madur Tinyana Yeredeh, Simon Reish Tes, and the Maral Diskin, Kunjus Achrin, Kuf Pei Ches, they all say that we could be talking over here about a goy. By a goy, it's mutter to burn the atzamas of the goy. Or alternatively, we could be talking about the aver of a Jew that fell off while he was still alive. That has no mitzvah kvura, you're allowed to burn it. And a third possibility is mentioned by the Achiezer in Chelek Gimel, Simen Ayin Beis. He says that a person whose bones were already burnt, it's not clear whether there's a mitzvah to go and bury those ashes. So he says perhaps Tosfos holds that it's mutter to use the ashes, and that's what the Efer Makla was. Now, the Mishnah continues describing this ceremony, and it says, Amdu b'tfila. So this took place during tefila. Tefila in Lashon Chazal usually means Shemana Esrei. Which tefila, which Shemana Esrei are we referring to? So there's a big machlokes rishonim concerning this. The Meiri on Daf Yudalet Amud Aleph, B'Shem Yesh Oimrim, and also in the Piskei Riyaz, understand that the Hosafos that are described in our Mishnah were only instituted in Tefilas Shachris, during Shemana Esrei of Tefilas Shachris. However, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tov Kuf Ayin Hey, Siv Dalid, and his Makar is really in the Rambam, Perek Gimel, Allah Chazayin, Vilchus Tainius, and such is the Shittas HaRitva and the Beis Mabeis, that in Shachris and in Mincha, there would be Moisif these Hosafis. The Ramban, however, holds that in all of the tefillahs, meaning Shachris, Mincha, and Ne'ilah, because we know that they would add a Ne'ilah on a Tainus, in all of them, they would add all of these brachas and tefillahs. So far we have the option of tefillah shachris alone, tefillah shachris and mincha, tefillah shachris, mincha, and ne'ilah. A fourth shita is the shita of the Rabbeinu Chananel, which the Rishonim bring down, the Ramban, the Ran, other Rishonim bring down the shita of the Rach, which is that they would only add these hasafis during ne'ilah. Now you take a look at Balamor in the beginning of brachas, you find that he had a totally different shita than all of these other Rishonim. He learned that they would make a special tefillah. So shachris, mincha, ne'ilah, they wouldn't add any of these esophis. It was like a tefillah musaf, a special tefillah in which they would say their own Shemoneh Esrei and they would say Kriyashma first. That's of course how it comes up in the sugya in the beginning of brachas when discussing the idea of being oimed betefillah mitoich devei Torah, learning Kriyashma before Shemoneh Esrei. So they would say a special Shemoneh Esrei with Kriyashma before it, and during that Shemoneh Esrei they would make the esophis of all of these brachas and special tefillahs. So that means we have five shitas: either shachris alone, shachris and mincha, shachris mincha ne'ilah, ne'ilah alone, or its own separate tefillah. Now, as far as the nusach of the brachas that are mentioned in our Mishnah, there are a couple of nekudas that are worth pointing out. Number one, the fact that our Mishnah says that they would have chaf dalet brachas, 24 brachas, of course is only true before they were misakin the bracha of Olam Al Shinim, the Birkas Aminim. Because prior to being misakin the bracha of Olam Al Shinim, the Shemoneh Esrei consisted only of Shemoneh Esrei, of 18 brachas. And that's why if you add 6, you'll end up with 24. However, since after they were misakin the bracha of Olam Al Shinim, there are 19 brachas, so it really ended up being 25. Number two, there's a machlokes Rishonim as to whether, aside from saying the psukim of Zichronis and Shofres, as is mentioned in our Mishnah, did they also say the whole nusach of Ata Zoicher, Ata Neglesa, the whole tefillah that we say before mentioning the psukim of Zichronis and Shofres during the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah that we say every year? Rashi's Lashon is Mashma that it was only the psukim, because Rashi in the Ramaskal Zichronis and Shofres says, Kol a psukim shayimim b'Rosh Hashanah. However, the Ramban, B'Shem Seder HaGa'inim, says that they would say the entire tefillah of Ata Zoicher and Ata Neglesa. The Ritva over here also starts out saying that even though you would say the Nusach of Zichronis and Shofres, nevertheless, he says, Ein Omer Ela Psukit Zichronis V'Shofres Bolvad V'Loi Shara Tefillah. Then he says, Al V'Rabbeinu Agad Lo Ramban Zal Kosev Ki B'Seder HaGa'inim Nimtze Sha'im V'Va Ki Ein Tzelusa De'Bei Rav Sha'im V'Va Rosh Hashanah. He says that you say the whole Nusach that you say in Rosh Hashanah, of course, you skip the things that relate directly to Rosh Hashanah, like Zayu Yom Techilas Ma'asecha and the like. The Meiri agrees to the Ramban, and that's actually how it's brought down in the Torah in Siman Tov Kuf Ayin Tes. Now, there's also a discussion concerning the psukim themselves. Are these the same psukim that you said in Rosh Hashanah, or do you pick other psukim? Rashi's mashma, again, that it's the same psukim. However, the Ritva says that from the Rambam, it's mashma that they used to choose other psukim. As he says, V'chein nir midvarav, it seems from the Rambam's words, Shezachronis v'shoifres elu, lo yisayf davar oysan sha'aymrim Rosh Hashanah, elu me'ein hatsar. They would take other psukim. But he does not seem to agree to this Rambam. Now, even though the Rambam Shita is that they would choose other psukim, which more related to the Ma'ira, to the Inyan of Tainis or Tsaris, nevertheless, the Rambam in the Pirush B'Shtayis does say that there was similar criteria for the inclusion of the psuke Zichronis and Shofres to the criteria that we use on Rosh Hashanah. Like, one of the examples is that the Rambam says that you don't say Zekaron Shel Yachid, like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, and you also don't say Zichronis that have to do Peronius, like the Gemara says over there in Rosh Hashanah. The Gvuras Ari from the Shagasari is Mo'er, that the Lashon of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is Mashma, that the reason why you don't include a psukim of Peronius is because it's the beginning of the year. And in the beginning of the year, we don't want to be Mo'er any Ketrugim. In which case, he wonders, why wouldn't they do it over here? This is not the beginning of the year. And he suggests that the only reason why the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that it's because of the beginning of the year that you don't mention certain psukim, that's only when the Gemara is discussing things that are not Peronius Gomer, rather they're things that were said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Rischa, out of anger. Something that's not a Peronius Gomer, but was said by Rischa, that we refrain from saying in the beginning of the year. Mashenke Peronius Gomer, we don't mention at any time. Another nekuda worth pointing at is that we don't say the psukim of Malchus over here. In Rosh Hashanah we say Malchus, Achronis, and Shofars. Now the Achronim ask from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah,
and Daf Lamed Beizim and Aleph,
where the Gemara has a limud, Ma Tamad Leimer Ani Hashem Lekechem, to teach us Zebnei Av, Lechom Mokim, Shenemer by Zechronis, you Malchus Imohen. Anytime you say Zechronis, you're supposed to have Malchus together with them. So the Taisis Yom Tov over here in the Mishnah says that that memory is only referring to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. Anytime you mention Zechronis in those two times, then you have to have Malchus together with them. However, the Sfas Emes points out over here that this could be the reason for Rabbi Yehuda, who argues and says that you don't say Zechronis and Shofras. He says that could be for this very reason, since we have a limud that says that whenever you have Zechronis, you have to have Malchus together with them. And we know that now is not a time of being Mamlech the Rabbani Shalom. Rosh Hashanah is a time of Malchus, as is Yom Kippur of Yovel, but a Tainus is not a time that you're being Mamlech Hashem, and since it's not a time that's appropriate for Malchus, and we know that you only mention the Psukim of Zechronis and Shofras when you have Malchus Imahim, so we understand that now is not a time to say any of them. Now, from the way the Sfas Emes is explaining Shittas Rabbi Yehuda, you see that he holds that although Rabbi Yehuda uses the Lashon, which sounds like you don't have to say it, but you can, nevertheless, the real Hesber in the Shittas Rabbi Yehuda is that you're not supposed to, because since the way he's explaining, you cannot say Zechronis and Shofras since you don't say Malchus, so it's not just Lehoyat Tzarech, it's inappropriate to say it. And this is actually a machlokes amongst the Rishonim, how to understand Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Ritva, Bidas HaRambam, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Lehoyat Tzarech Leimar, is Davka Lehoyat Tzarech. You didn't have to say it, but you can say it. And that's unlike what we just saw in the Sfas Emes. The Ritva uses this to be miyashiv astira in the Rambam. Because on the one hand, the Rambam, the Pirsha Mishnayis, says halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. And nevertheless, in the Yad HaChazakah, when the Rambam is writing the halacha in Perek Dalet, Hilchas Tanias, he brings down the din that you say Zechroinis v'Shofras. Says the Ritva, how do we reconcile the Rambam and Pirsha Mishnayis with what he says in the halachas? And he answers that the Rambam obviously holds that Rabbi Yehuda just spent Lehoyat Tzarech. But of course, the minig is to say it, and that's why the Rambam is quoting the Nusach, how the minig was to say. However, the Ritva himself does not learn that way. And most of the Rishonim don't learn that way. The Ra'ah, the Ran, they all say that Rabbi Yehuda does not mean lo yehayat tzarech leimer, he means that you're not supposed to say it. And even in the Shita of Rambam, according to the Nuschois that we now have in the Shita of the Rambam in the Pirsha Mishnayis, it seems pretty clear that the correct girsa is not halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, rather ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. And so there is no stira to what the Rambam says in the halachas, he paskins like the Rabbanan. And it also comes out that it seems pretty unanimous as to what the actual Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is. Because the only reason to say that the Rambam argues and the rest of the Rishonim who say that Rabbi Yehuda holds you're not supposed to say it is because of the stira that the Ritva asks. Once there's no stira, then we can assume that the Rambam holds like the rest of the Rishonim that the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that you're not supposed to say it. Another nekuda that relates to the nusach that they used to say during the special tefillah is that it says in our Mishnah that they used to end off Misha Ona es Avraham Bahar Hamiria Hu Yane Eschem Vishba Bekol Tzakaschem. And the question is, what do we mean when we say that Hashem answered Avram and Har Hamiria? What tefillah did Avram daven, and what was it that Hashem was answering him? Says the Marsha, you cannot say that what the Gemara means is that the Avram Avinu davened that the Akedah of Yitzchak should not take place. Rather, he says that Avram Avinu davened Elokim yir lo yaseh lo ilo b'ni, the fact that he davened that he should get the opportunity to bring an ayil, and that the ayil should be ilo l'ratzayin, that was all part of Avram Avinu's tefillah, and it was answered. However, you see from the Rishonim and the Yerushalmi that they bring down, the Ramban and the Ritva, they bring you Yerushalmi, from which you see very clearly that the tefillah of Avram Avinu that we're referring to is the tefillah that the Akedah should not take place. How do you see that? Because the Yerushalmi that they bring asks a question. The Yerushalmi says, why is it that we end off the bracha Goyel Yisrael, we should rather end off Goyel Yitzchak? Because it's Yitzchak who was spared. So you see very clearly that we're discussing over here the Hatzalah of Yitzchak, the fact that he was spared from the Akedah. And the Karen Ayre explains, why is it that Avram Avinu would daven for such a thing? The answer is because Hashem already was Maftiach Avram Avinu, Ki v'Yitzchak yikar lecha zara. So he wanted Hashem to work out some way that although he was being mitzavim to bring him as an oila, nevertheless, somehow Yitzchak would be spared and he would be able to be the hemshech of the Jewish people.
Another question that's asked is that it says in the Mishnah, Misha'ones Aviseinu al Yamsuf, Hu Yane Eschem V'yishma Kol Tzakaschem Hayayim Hazeh, which makes it sound like Kriyas Yamsuf was a product of the Tfilos of Klal Yisrael. And the question is that Rashi says on the Pasuk by Kriyas Yamsuf, Ma Titzak Elai, when Moshe Rabbeinu was being Marich B'Tfilah, Rashi explains, Ma Titzak Elai means this is now not the time to be Marich B'Tfilah. Daber El B'nei Yisrael V'Yisso. And as it says in the Zohar HaKadosh over there, that Kriyas Yamsuf is Ba'atika Talya, which means that it's dependent on a certain dimension that has absolutely nothing to do with human intervention. Usually, humans are capable of intervening through the medium of tefillah and changing things. Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, this is not something that's dependent on tefillah, it's ba'atika talya, it's dependent on Hashem alone, something that precedes the world, precedes the Bria, and precedes human Bechira. So how can we say that Kriyas Yamsuf was, so to speak, a response to our tefillahs? However, we know, and we say this in davening every day, v'sakosam shamata al yamsuf. Hashem heard their tzaka on the yamsuf, which means that it was something that it was a response to tefillahs. If you take a look at Reb Tzadik HaKohen in Parshas Bishalach, you'll see the answer. He explains that there are two types of tefillahs. There's tefillah l'moshe and tefillah l'oni. Tefillah l'moshe, the tefillah of a tzaddik, is capable of accomplishing a lot, because the tzaddik is on a very high madrega, and he has the ability to affect things through his tefillah. But then there's the tefillah of the ani. Tefillah of the ani means the tefillah of those that are not on any madrega, the people that the malachim are even saying about them, haloloiv devarizara, haloloiv devarizara, and they're fully undeserving of anything. A tefillah that comes out of the recognition that one is totally incapable of saving themselves, and they feel the utter dependency on their Ribbono Shel Olam, that at times is the tefillah that Hashem is more interested in. So when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matitzak Eloi, now is not the time to be marich b'tefillah, that means I don't want your tefillah, I want their tefillah. So it does say, V'ezakosam Shemata Al Yamsuf, he listened to their tefillah. Sometimes that tefillah is capable of generating things that are totally ba'atika, like we explained from the Zohar HaKadosh. Because atika is the madrega that precedes human bechira, that's above anything that this world is about. And sometimes in order to get there, you have to be aware that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's salvation, you're nowhere. So that could be the reason why it says in our Mishnah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ana laviseinu al yamsuf. The Mishnah brings down a maisa b'mei Rabbi Chelafta, Rabbi Chanani ben Tradyoin, she'aver echel lefnei ha-teva. There was a shlich tzibur that went in front of the Teva V'gomer, es ha-brocha kula, he finished the brocha, v'loy anu achrav amein. Rather, they said, Baruch Shem k'voy malchus eloy elom voy. Then there was the tkiyas, and Misha'ones, Avram, Avinu, Baham, Rio, Yan, Eschem, Yishma, B'kol Tzaykaschem, as the Mishnah explains. Uch'sheba, davar, etzach ha-chamim, amru, loy hayinu, noyegin kein. We were not noyeg this way, ela, b'shar, mizrach, u'vahar abayis. Now, what was it that chachamim were claiming we were not noyeg? What exactly is the machlokes going on between Rabbi Chelafta and Rabbi Chanani ben Tradyan and the Chachamim? So Rashi understands that the issue at hand is whether you actually are supposed to say Amen or Baruch Shem Kvay Machus El Olam Vod. And the Chachamim were saying that we never were noyeg to say Baruch Shem unless it was in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Mikdash you say Baruch Shem Kvay Machus El Olam Vod, but any place else you say Amen. Now the Ran asks on this, that if that's the machloikis, then why is it something gets brought only over here? Theoretically, we should see this machloikis any place, because they're arguing in a very fundamental issue, whether in places other than in the Beis HaMikdash, it was appropriate to use the answer of Baruch Shem instead of Amen. So to this, the Tosfos Yom Tov actually answers that only during Tainiyos, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyan and Rabbi Chelafta held that you're supposed to respond with Baruch Shem, but not in other scenarios in the Gvulin, outside the Beis HaMikdash. And that is because, since there was a ceremony here that involved 24 brachas and tkiyas, there are certain things that are reminiscent of ceremonies that they conducted in the Beis HaMikdash itself, and therefore it's not like the fact that they told you to say Baruch Shem over here means that all cases that people are in the Gvulin outside the Beis HaMikdash, then you're supposed to say Baruch Shem. things that are similar to what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash, then you say Baruch Shem, just like you say Baruch Shem in the Beis HaMikdash. The Tiferes Yisrael adds that over here it was similar to Kodshim, to bringing a carbon, because the whole concept of a Tainis is that the miut chelev v'dam, the amount of diminished chelev and dam that happens to a person during the fast, should be considered like a carbon. So then it's considered like things that are going on in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why you say Baruch Shem like you do in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Ritva is very unhappy with this notion that somebody could hold that you say Baruch Shem outside the Beis HaMikdash. And the way he expresses the question is that since the only reason why they said Baruch Shem in the Beis HaMikdash was because they used to utter the Shem HaMefeirush, so saying the Shem HaMefeirush warrants the response of Baruch Shem. Masha'en came when you use a kinoy like you do a begvulin outside the Beis HaMikdash, then all you're supposed to say is Amen. So how is it possible, says the Ritva, for Rabbi Hananya ben Tradin and Rabbi Chalafta to make such a mistake? Now this means that the Shita of the Ritva is that you only say Baruch Shem when the Shem HaMefeirush is uttered. And it also means that when the Rabbanan responded by saying Lo Hayinu Noegin Kein Elo Bishar Mizrach Ubahar Habayis, which the Ritva has no problem with, his only problem is with the Shita of Rav Chanin ben Tradyan and Rav Chelafta, but with the Rabbanan Shita who say that Lo Hayinu Noegin Kein Elo Bishar Mizrach Ubahar Habayis, he understands why they would say that you would say Baruch Shem Kvei Mechus Talon Void. So that tells us that the Ritva understands that in the Har Habayis they used to say the Shem HaMefeirush. And this is problematic from a sugya in Yumad Af Samach Tes Mebeis. Over there in the sugya, the Gemara relates how Ezra, Vayikar Boy Lufnei HaRachoy Vasher Lufnei Shar HaMayim, Ezra was in the Ezra's Noshim, Vayivarach Ezra as Hashem Elohim HaGodol. The Gemara asks, my Godol, Am Rab Yosef Am Rav Shegidloi B'Shem HaMefeirush. Rav Gidol Amar, Baruch Hashem Elohim Yisrael Min HaOilam Va'ad HaOilam. It was not Shegidloi B'Shem HaMefeirush, rather he said, Baruch Hashem Elohim Yisrael, Abaya asks, "V'dilma shegidloi b'shem hamefeirush." How do you know that it's that he was gidloi l'Hashem by saying Baruch Hashem alakei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam? Maybe he was gidloi b'shem hamefeirush, that Ezra actually said the shem hamefeirush. Amalei ain oimrim shem hamefeirush b'gvulim. You do not say the shem hamefeirush b'gvulim, and like Rashi says, kol chutz la'zara kari gvulim. Outside the Azara, including the Ezes Nashim and Kol Shekein the Harabayis, would be called Gvulin, and therefore you don't say the Shem HaMefeirush. So now we have a problem. How is it that the Ritva is only concerned with the Shita of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan and Rabbi Chalafta, and not with the Rabbanan? If the Rabbanan respond by saying, Lo Hayinu Noegin Kach Ela Behar Habayis, and the Ritva understands that saying Baruch Shem is a function of Shem HaMefeirush, it seems clear in that Gemara that you do not say the Shem HaMefeirush outside the Azara, and that includes Har Habayis. Now, of course, according to the Shita of Rabbi Yosef B'Shem Rav over there, we do hear Shegidlo B'Shem HaMefeirush, that they said Shem HaMefeirush in the Ezes Noshim, but according to Rav Gidl, you don't say the Shem HaMefeirush outside the Azara. So this question is asked by the Afike Yam in the Kuntres Achron of Simon Gimel in his Sefer, and his basic answer is to be mechalek between the Shem HaMefeirush of Mem Beis Oisius and the Shem HaMefeirush of Yudke Vavke. It's only in the Azara that they used to say the Shem Shel Mem Beis Oisius, but they still would say the Shem HaMefeirush of four oisis of Yud Kei Vav Kei outside the Azara in the Har Habayis. Al Kol Panim, we mentioned one Hezber, that's the Shitas Rashi, as to what the machloik is between Rav Chanan ben Tradyan and Rav Chalafta against the Chachamim was. Namely, whether it's appropriate outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Har Habayis and the Shara Mizrach, to say Baruch Shem instead of Amen. There are other Hezberim in the Rishonim. The Ran brings down one Hezber, and this Hezber is also brought down in the Ritva, that the Chachamim were saying that the minhag was not to blow tkiyos in the middle of the Seder HaTfilah. Because in the Gvulim, they were only supposed to say the brachas without the teruos, and even though the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that there were chatzoitzers b'gvulim during tainiyos, that's only that they would blow after they finished the Chav Dalet brachas. However, the Ran brings a second pshat, and he says this is Yoser Mechuvar, and he says this is the Shita of the Rambam, Perek Dalet, Alocha Yud Zayin, that in the Gvulin, the Seder HaTfilah was as follows. First they would say Misha'ana Lavram, Misha'ana Lavisena, whatever the Misha'ana was. Next they would be Chosim the Bracha. The Kohol would respond by saying Amen, and then after that they would have the Tkiyas. In the Mikdash, however, he says it was not possible to have tkiyos immediately following the response, which in the Mikdash, of course, was Baruch Shem. because then it would appear as if the tkiyas were a tkiyah on the Baruch Shem. So therefore, they would switch around the order. First, they would have the chesimus habracha. Next, they would have Baruch Shem. And then they would say Misha Ana. And after Misha Ana, they would blow the tkiyas. This way, like we said, they would ensure that it wasn't as if the tkiyas were going on the Baruch Shem. The Ran brings another pirush, which is that in the Mikdash, they used to say Misha Ana twice. Once before the chesim of the bracha, and once after the chesim. Reb Chanin ben Tradian and Reb Chalafta did that in the Gvulin, and the Chachamim say that you don't have to. And the reason is very simple. He says, what's the reason why they used to say Misha'ana again after the Chsima? It's because after the Chsima, since the response to the Bracha was Baruch Shem, there was a hefsik between the Tkia and the Bracha. Therefore, in the Gvulin, where it was only Amen, Amen wasn't the hefsik, so the Tkia could follow the Amen, and that's considered like it goes on the whole bracha, including the Misha'ana, and that's why you don't have to repeat the Misha'ana after the bracha. Finally, there's the pshat that the Ritva himself says, and that is that the machloikes is basically a machloikes, whether you are tekeya with shofar and chatzoitzris in the gvulin or not. In the Mikdash, they use two instruments, shofar and chatzoitzris. But in the gvulin, he says, makam shiyesh shofar ein chatzoitzris, or makam shiyesh chatzoitzris ein shofar. So we basically have five explanations as to what the machloikes between the Chachamim and Chalafta with Reb Chanin ben Tradian was. According to Rashi, the machloikes was whether you say Baruch Shem or Amen. According to the Ran's first pshat, the machloikis was whether the tkiyas were in the middle of the nusach of tefillah or after. According to the Ran's second pshat, which also he says is the pshat of the Rambam, the machloikis was whether you should take Misha'ana and put it later after the chesimus habracha, after you answer, so that the tkiyas can follow the Misha'ana, and that way it will not appear as if the tkiyas are being blown for the Baruch Shem, since that was only true in the Mikdash, where you said Baruch Shem, but not in the Gvulin, where you said Amen, you don't have to do that, and therefore the Misha'ana can precede the Bracha. The fourth pshat is the third pshat of the Ran, which is whether you have to say Misha'ana twice. The Machlokes was, the Chacham held, you don't have to say Misha'ana twice, since you're only saying Amen, and Amen is not a Hefzik, it's only in the Mikdash where you have to repeat the Misha'ana because of the hefsik of Baruch Shem. And the fifth pshat is from the Ritva, which is that the machlokes was whether you used both instruments or only one instrument. The Mishnah tells us that the Anshei Mishmar is Anin v'loy mashlimin, the Anshei Beis Av loy hayu mis Anin klal. The Anshei Mishmar were not able to fast the entire day because it's possible, as Rashi explains, b'shem the Gemara later, perhaps the avoid will be too much for the Anshei Beis Av that were being oven on that day, and the Anshei Mishmar would come, would need to be helping them, and therefore, so that's the reason why the Anshei Mishmar were mis'anin v'loy mashlimin. Now, what does it mean that they were mis'anin v'loy mashlimin? The Sfasemis makes the assumption that it was a very large portion of the day that they would fast, even though they weren't mashlim and they didn't finish the tainus fully. And he asks, why would that help? If, according to Rashi, the reason why they were not mashlim is because they needed to have koyach to help with the avoida. He says, most of the karbonis had to be brought before the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. There's the Aseda Hashlama. You're mechuyev to bring karbonis before the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. Aleha Hashlam kol karbonis kula. And he says, well, perhaps we can say that there's more of a pas besalei for a person who knows that he's not going to have to finish the tainus fully, so he's going to be able to eat soon, and therefore he'll have more koyach to do the avoida. However, he says that he'd rather understand that what's going on is that you're allowed to eat shortly after chatzos. Even though he says, tzarech iyim bepoiskim. And what he means is that this is very similar to the din, as is brought down in the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where someone is not mechuyev to fast on Tisha B'Av that was pushed off from Shabbos to Sunday because it's his Yom Tov, like the Gemara says over there, Amar Belazar ben Tzadik, Animi b'nei banav shel Sinav ben Binyamin, their Yom Tov for the Atzei Marocha came out to be on that day, and therefore they weren't mechuyev to be mashlim the tainis, they just had to fast partially, so as not to be parish min hatzibur. And the Gemara is medame that din to our din of not being mashlim when you're part of the Anshei Mishmar. And in that halacha, the Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Tes
Sifkat and Yud Gimel is Dan, whether you're supposed to fast until Mincha Gedoyla or until Mincha Ketana. Now, Mincha Gedoyla is 1.5 hour after Chatzos. Mishnah Berurah over there, actually, in Sifkat and Lamed Zayin, says that the Achronim argue on the Magen Avraham, who is Mitzadeh to be Machmir, and make you wait until Mincha Ketana. So, Lefize, it's not so difficult to understand. A half hour after Chatzos gave enough time for the Anshei Mishmar to eat during that day, and that way they would have koyach. Now, later on in the Mishnah, it's mavur that the Anshei Beis Av are not allowed to drink yayin loy b'yoyim v'loy b'layla. It's machlokes rishonim, machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, what the reason why the Anshei Beis Av are not allowed to drink yayin b'layla is. Rashi over here says, Anshei Beis Av asurim bein b'yoyim bein b'layla, lefi shehayu malin kol ha'layla, eivarim upedarim shepoku me'al ha'mizbeach. He says, Hector chalovim veivarim took place the entire night, and any eivarim pedarim fats that went off of the mizbeach, they would put them back throughout the night. And since that has a din of an avoida, it's also to drink yayim, because you get misa b'dei shamayim if you do the avodah while being under the influence of alcohol. That is, if you drink yayin, then there's misa b'dei shamayim. If one drinks some other mashka that's mashaker, then it's an iser. You don't get misa b'dei shamayim. Either which way, it would be usser. So that's one hesber Rashi gives. Inami Rashi says, like gamru b'yoyim, gamrim b'layla. Any haktorah that didn't take place during the day, they would go and be makter at night. So Rashi's reason for not being allowed to drink at night is because of hekter chalovim ve'ivorim. On the other hand, the Rambam, in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, Perek Aleph Halacha Vav, gives a different reason. He says that the problem is shema yishta balayla, maybe a person's going to drink in the nighttime. The yashkim lavaydasai, he'll get up early the next morning to do that voida, and the yayin, the effect of the yayin, has not yet worn off. So that will be a problem, legabe, he has avoided for the next day. The Ravid over there in the Hasugis asks on him, and he learns like Rashi. So what is the Hezber and the Machlokes, the Rambam and Rashi? Why does, first of all, why does the Rambam not want to say like Rashi? Why does he have to say, because we're worried about the next day's avoida? What's the matter with Rashi's Hezber that we're worried about the Hekter Chalav Mevarim of that night? So we could say two Hezberim. The Aruch Liner gives one Hezber. He says that it's Mashma, that the Anshei Beis Av are never allowed to drink at night, and that includes Shabbos. And the question is, Shabbos, there's an Isser to do Hekter Chalav Veivarim of Karbonis that were brought during the previous day. Memela, he says, the Rambam didn't want to learn like Rashi. Another Hezber, and we could find this Hezber in the Arsameach in Hilchos Maaser Karbonis, Perek Beis Halacha Beis, that the Rambam has the following problem. He says, if the reason why you're not allowed to drink at night is because of the din of Hekter Chalovim Veivarim, how would that explain the mashmos that it's usher to drink yayin the entire night? After all, he says, after Chatzos, you're not allowed to do Hekter Chalovim Veivarim. And this, says Dar Sameach, is really a machlik, it's the Rambam and Rashi L'shitosam. Because if you'll take a look at the first Mishnah in Brachas, over there, it's mavur that the Chachamim made a siyag for certain things, that the mitzvah is kol halayla, and they said you only have until Chatzos. Now, there are three things mentioned in that Mishnah. One is Kriyashma, the other is kol anecholim liyoyim echad, which means kodshim, that you have the right to eat for one day and the following night. And the third thing is hekter chalovim ve'ivarim. Rashi over there, on the Beis in Brachas, says that the Chachamim only made a siyag, they only made a special gzeira by Kriyashma and by Kol HaNecholim L'yayim Echad. But by Hekter Chalovim Ve'ivarim, they did not make a siyag. They didn't tell you that you're mechuyev to stop by Chatzos. So therefore, Rashi is not bothered by this question, because Rashi L'shitasi holds that the Chachamim never made a siyag L'gabe Hekter Chalovim Ve'ivarim, u'memeila it would be usur for Kohanim of that Beis Av to drink yayin the entire night, because the entire night there's a din to do a Hekter Chalovim Ve'ivarim. Masha Enkein, the Rambam, Perek Dalet, Maaser Karbonis, Halacha Beis, says that they even made a siyag by Hekter Chalovim Ve'ivarim. So the Rambam L'shitasi has the taina that the Aruch Sameach says. Then how do you explain why we aser the Kahanim of that Beis Av to drink yayin the entire night? We should only aser them to drink yayin until Chatzos. Must be a new time, as the Rambam says, because of the avoida of the next day. However, one should take a look at the Beis HaLevi, Chelik Aleph, Simon Lamed Dalet, Sifkot and Vav, the Kilos Yankiv, in the end of Menachos. They are Medayik from Rashi and Menachos. Daf Ayin Beis Amid Aleph, Divra Maschel Ulahakter, that he was Choyzer from that which he writes in Brachas Daf Beis, and he holds that it would also only be Mutter to do Hekter Chalavim Vevarim up until Chatzois. Now, we discussed why the Rambam doesn't want to learn like Rashi, but why doesn't Rashi want to learn like the Rambam's Tam, that the reason why we tell you not to drink yain during the night is because of the next day's avoida. Says the Arch Lener, very simply because in the morning they already switched the mishmaris, and therefore there's no chash that somebody during this night who drinks wine would be doing the avoida the next day. The Mishnah continues, and it says that Anshe Mishmar v'Anshe Maimed Asurin Milisaper u'Milachabes, they're not allowed to take haircuts or do a kvisa of their begodim, as the Gemara explains later. However, it says u'B'Chamishi Mutarin Ipnei Kvoid HaShabbos. Why does it say Chamishi? What about Erev Shabbos? So Rashi says u'B'Chamishi Shel Mishmartan Mutarin Derech Roiv Bnei Adam Lihistaper b'Chamishi V'Loi Be'Erev Shabbos Ipnei Atoyrech. The derech of most people is to take a haircut on Thursday and not on Erev Shabbos because so much tircha goes into preparing for Shabbos that a person may not have the time to take a haircut. Now the Bach in Archaim Simin Reish Samach says, B'shem the Marshal, that one should take a haircut on Friday and not on Thursday. And he says the reason is because it's not going to be nicker that he's doing it L'tzaruch Shabbos. When a person does preparations for Shabbos, he should do it in a way that it's nicker that he's doing it L'tzaruch Shabbos. The Magen Avram asks on him that over here it's mefurish that on Thursday it's mutter to take a haircut. How could he say that you're supposed to do it on Friday and not on Thursday? Answers the Magen Avram, the efsher de mikom mokem mitzvah mina muvcher be'erev Shabbos. Maybe, he says, really the best way to do it is to do it on Erev Shabbos. Elisha anshe maimed lo yahu poinim be'erev Shabbos. The anshe maimed didn't have time on Erev Shabbos. Of course, it's very much not mashma that way from the Lashon of Rashi. Rashi says, derech Roiv bnei Adam lehistaper b'chamishi. In the Gemara, when explaining the order of things, it says that you first put Efer b'roish hanasi, and only after that we put Efer b'roish kol echad ve'echad. And the Gemara asks that that shouldn't be the order, because we know that b'gedula maschilon min ha'godol, u'b'klala maschilon min ha'kotin. And our case seems to be something that's more shaykh to klala. And the Gemara answers that this is still achshivis, because by putting Efer on his head, we're trying to say you are so chashiv that you are expected to daven on behalf of everybody else. Now what is the makar that by klala or maschilu min hakatan? The Gemara says because the nachash was niskalo first, and only afterwards Chava was niskalo, and then after that Adam. And the question is asked, why does that prove that by klala you're maschil min hakatan? Perhaps the reason why the nachash was niskalo first is because he was the one who started the whole thing. So there are various terutzim given to this question in the Achronim. In the Hagoyis from Elazar Moshe Horvitz in Brachas Daf Samach Aleph, he says that even though the Nochash started the process, nevertheless, if there was an issue of Kavod, like there is by other things, such as Gedula, then we would have started with the Gadol. We would have started from Adam, even though the Nochash initiated the Chet. In the Sefer Smichas Chachamim, he says that since Adam Rishon was the one who was mitzuveh beferish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was really the one that we should have started with. He has the tzivah beferish. The Nochash wasn't mitzuveh beferish, and neither was Chava. So why is it that we don't start with Adam? He's the one that should have been niskalo first. The reason is because by klala, you're maschilin min hakotan. In the Eitz Yosef, he says, furthermore, that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu already began talking to Adam Rishon first, it would have made more sense for Adam Rishon to have gotten his klala before everybody else. The only reason why the Nachash was niskalo first, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not even begin a dialogue with the Nachash, is because by klala what you do is you're maschilin min hakotan.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.